Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In a moment, we will have Vernon Dozier back on the air with us to talk about the aftermath of the NC2A basically just tearing the throat right out of Penn State. And I don't think there's too many people shedding tears for Penn State these days. It's unfortunate. It sucks. And, yeah, there's a lot of students that are going down for the count, you know, students that have nothing to do with it. But I have some very strong feelings about it. We'll talk with Vernon. Want to remind you that we're online at philhendryshow.com. When I say that, you can get thousands of hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade of the record-breaking, world-famous, legendary Phil Hendry Show. I say that with all humility, but I do say it. You get a backstage pass to our website, and it's worth it, Jack. We have thousands of hours of media, whether it is video, whether it is audio. We even got animated stuff on there. And all of it going back, as I say, many, many years. We have a video archive, a five-day archive of our current show. We also have 1 year's worth of our Saturday night shows on video. And we are going to be expanding that video archive so that every single show at some point will be online at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, you can access our free Phil Hendry podcast. That is a three-day-a-week podcast that you can get by way of the banner on our homepage. philhendryshow.com. It is the single greatest value in entertainment history. I'm not kidding. We really think that. We say it. People think we're joking. Okay, that's fine. But we really mean it.
Yes, we do.
All right. 877-876-7445. Do we have any other...
You ought to give away like sometime...
I forgot. Thanks, Robert. Bobby Dooley, the best of Bobby Dooley. I should have said it while she was online here, but I forget it. You know, she was going out of her mind. She's got her music album out. We are going to be featuring the best of Bobby Dooley in August as our new download, a new best of download, to join the best of Ted Bell. So we're gradually putting together these downloads for you guys to access great bits from different guests, different characters that we've had on the show. Okay, as we were talking last hour to Vernon Dozier, and we were saying we're going to have you back on here, Vernon, to talk with us. And there's Vernon, and I know you guys are doing a little late training.
Oh well, no, right now, Phil, I'm in the we're in our football plant at a high school. Basically, what that means is the locker room, and we've got a lot of the kids come in July and do some weights, and of course August to begin. In earnest, training for the new season.
How many years you've been coaching there?
Phil, I'm going to be starting my 23rd year here this season.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's been a gratifying run. I've enjoyed every minute of it. We've had some great success. We've got some damn good football teams. Excuse my language. We've had great support from our administration, great support from our parents, and very fine young men that I've been very proud to be associated with. So all in all, a great time.
And when you see something like what happened, even though you're at the high school level, did you coach college?
I did, yes, I did coach college 3 years at Tuffany, and coached another 2 years at Malvern, which is a small college in Indiana.
And you coached pro?
I did, Phil, in the old USFL.
And what team?
I was with the Baltimore Stars, and I worked under Jim Mora there for 2 years. We had a championship team in Baltimore. They had a championship, and I wasn't with them in Philadelphia.
And did you ever play any professional football?
No, I did not. I played a quarterback at Malvern, and played defensive back, but never played at the professional level, although I did go to a couple of camps.
And those are like free agent camps, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you've been a great coach, and
thank you.
And but I want to. When you see this, this that's going on at Penn State, what do you think?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, Jerry Sandusky, I think you can take him, and I don't care what you do with him. If he was a coach of mine, I don't think I should say, but I will. If he was a coach of mine, I would have taken a few minutes of my own with him. If he brought disgrace to our program the way he did to that program, I would definitely have a meeting with him, and it wouldn't be a conversation either. I mean, I know that's a bad thing to say, Phil, but
well, it's understandable.
Look at this guy Sandusky. What he did, he brought an absolute disgrace onto that school. And the other thing that he did that I really resent is he drove the legend of Joe Paterno right straight into the toilet. And
well, I mean, now that's an interesting. See, this is what I want to talk to you about. You know.
Well, yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that Paterno deserved it. And boy, I got to tell you something. If anybody says to me, I know what you mean by it, Phil. But just to say the words, Joe Paterno deserved it. It causes a physical reaction in me, like I can't breathe, like every muscle is constricted because I want to. I'm going to give you a very honest appraisal, Phil. When I heard the other night about Joe Paterno losing all of his wins, I got sick in a toilet.
Well, let me. Now, I'm sorry to hear that, but let's get people.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I absolutely do understand. Let's get people up to speed on what happened. They lost all kind. You know, no bowl eligibility. They lost all kinds of scholarships. They lost every win from the years 1998, I believe, until the 2011 season.
Yeah, and that means that Coach Paterno is no longer the winningest coach in football, and to rob a man, you know, they basically, that's called grave robbing. That's what they did. They robbed him. They grave robbed Joe Paterno. They reached into his coffin and they took all those wins. Now, I know literally they didn't grave rob him, but that's how it feels to me. It feels to me as if the NC2A and all of their hypocrisy.
Why do you call them hypocrites?
Phil, I find it very hard to believe that this hasn't happened at another school, and the NC2A saw Penn State as.
You believe that.
Well, hold on. Well.
You believe this has happened at other schools?
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, what are the odds? It must have happened somewhere else. There's got to. Are you telling me that Jerry Sandusky is the only? I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
So if it's happened at other schools, the NC2A has covered it up.
I believe so because look, they went after Penn State. Why? Because they're miserable. Because the NC2A, they hate themselves. The fact that there's no, they're all little men. They're all little men, and they hate their own guts. And they look at a guy like Paterno, who's bigger than life, who is football, not just in Pennsylvania, but in probably a 6-7 state area. He means a lot nationally. And the NC2A are all these little tiny men who hate themselves, and all they want to do is pull down a great man. And
all right, Vernon, I want to ask you something here, though, okay?
All right, go ahead.
This guy, Joe Paterno, according to a report by the not the FBI, but a retired FBI director.
A retired FBI director.
All right, but the man is still an accomplished law enforcement officer. He was a cop.
All right, he was a cop. Does that make him a genius? If anything, in my book, if you call a guy a cop, that sends him the opposite direction. Don't you agree?
No.
What's that? You said no?
I said no, yeah.
Oh, boy, that blows me away.
Why? What are you...
But you're telling me the cop... Name a cop that... Every cop I've ever known has been a dumb, stupid flatfoot. A dumb cop. And you're trying to tell...
Well, I don't know what your experiences are with cops, but cops are probably the most underrated people. I'll give you that.
Underrated. When have you ever known a cop to know how to do anything other than answer a dog whistle and go running off and, you know, shut down a fire hydrant? And
boy, what? You got a bad attitude toward cops.
No, I do not. I love cops. I think what they're necessary. My father was a police officer, and I love my father dearly. I love my father dearly. My mother's the one that I had a problem with, don't we all? Because it was my mother who would drop me off at school, and I told you the story, and I don't want to go into it now because we're on the national, on the national TV or radio or whatever we're doing here.
It's a radio show.
All right, forgive me. But, the cop, when have you ever known a cop to be anything other than some dumb, stupid cop?
And boy, you really sound like you don't like cops.
What did I just get done telling you?
Yeah, I know what you're telling me, but you sound like you don't like cops. Okay?
Well, I'm just telling you, Phil, if you get a report from this guy Free, who's a cop, right?
Well, he's an FBI director, and I imagine his law enforcement experience goes back to some police work, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's some police work. That's great. Now, this cop does a report, and what does he decide to do with his report? Take one of the biggest names in the history of American football and rub the face of a corpse in that guy's own, I'm sorry, in his own waste.
Boy, you know, your hatred of police.
I don't, Mr. Henry. What did I just get done telling you?
You can tell me that you don't hate cops. What you just said there.
What did I say? I said
you know.
I said Louis Free took the corpse of Joe Paterno and rubbed the face of it in his own waste.
That is a hateful thing to say, man.
Mr. Henry, it's an accurate statement. It's not a hateful thing.
It is a very hateful thing to say. It's a very hateful thing to... You hate cops. Say it. Because that's what I'm hearing here.
No, I will not say it.
Well, that's what I'm hearing here, Vernon, and I believe that your opinion is colored by that.
No, my opinion is informed by that, Mr. Henry. That's what you're missing. My opinion is informed by that. I love the police. They do a great job. My father my father's dead. But I like to think that he still is a cop someplace. I think he's God's cop right now. And my father used to joke about it. He said, you know, when I die, son, I'm going to be God's own cop. And he would stand there. And he'd have his thumb stuck into his utility belt, getting ready to go off to work. And he says, son, I just remember this. Because my mother would drop me off in the morning, and she'd kiss me on the lips. I think I told you about that.
Yeah.
And my father would say to me, son, I know what's about to happen to you. I know your mother's getting ready to take you to school. And I know what's going to happen at the end of that drive to school. But just remember that when I die, I'm going to be God's own cop. And I take solace in that.
And I don't know what that means. I don't mean any disrespect to your father.
You don't know what that means?
No. What does that mean?
It means my father is going to be in heaven when my mother arrives, and he's going to be God's own cop.
Okay.
You've heard of Rodney King. I guess you've heard of Rodney King. You know, I don't know. These days, you talk show hosts, some of you guys are pretty stupid.
I'm not stupid. I've heard of Rodney King.
Okay. Now, take Rodney King out of there and put my mother there. And my father is leading a battalion of angel cops, or angel, I don't know if they're, but they're, and they're working on my mother the way they worked on Rodney King, only it's in heaven, and God is rolling the video and is not going to be giving it to no Channel 5. And it's going to be different in heaven.
No, I get the idea what you're talking about. God will approve of your father, God's own cop, beating your mother up like Rodney King got beat.
Yes.
All right. All right. So Joe Paterno, in the mind of Vernon Dozier, has been badly, badly served. His legend, his memory, his name, badly served by the NC2A. He has been basically scapegoated. And we're going to talk more with Vernon Dozier about this, the first person that I've heard, sports world or otherwise, to say these things. 877, of any prominence, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier with us at Belmar Academy, a private high school where he is the head football coach as we talk about Joe Paterno and the legacy, which now it ain't good. You know, they have stripped away these wins. They have no bowl eligibility. There is no there are no scholarships. There will be no league play, basically. No one's going to give a crap about their, season because they ain't going anyplace with their season. They're going to lose a lot of players because without the bowl eligibility, without any real national competition, the quality players that they do have been given the right by the NC2A, which ordinarily they wouldn't have been given the right to walk, to sign with another program. When I say sign with another program, you know, to... basically agree to go to school and attend another football program. So Penn State is done.
Yeah, and they're done. And I think, again, Joe Paterno... See, a lot of people don't know who Joe Paterno is, and so they sit back and they watch this man's name get just drugged through the mud. And
Hold on, Vernon, because you're not being fair here to the facts, I don't think.
I'm not, huh?
No, you're not. Number one, Joe Paterno, according to this report that you don't respect because Louis Free is a cop and he's a dumb, stupid cop, even though you say you like cops.
You seem to find some. Is there a contradiction in that?
Yeah, there's contradiction in that. If you love cops, what does that mean?
It means I love cops. My father was a cop. My father, I love my father, and I love cops, but he's a dumb spot. My father was a dumb cop. He said to me, when I'm in heaven, I'm going to be God's own cop. And he wasn't talking about being some good cop. He was talking about swinging a PR-24 on behalf of the Lord. That means that my father was basically saying that when he gets to heaven, he's going to wail on my mother like she's Rodney King laying on her stomach, reaching for her waistband, and my father going, yeah, yeah. Because I remember that. My dad was telling me, you know, if your mother ever goes for a waistband, I swear to God, I'll go for elbows, kneecaps.
And what kind of a relationship do your parents have?
This is not about my parents, Mr. Andrew. This is about Joe Paterno, who basically, a great football coach, he got kicked right between his legs. That's like walking up to an 80-something-year-old man and just going back as if you're Gary Apremian, looking to put one through in that overtime game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and just swinging your legs soccer style, and the steel toe of that kicking shoe meets testicle. I'm sorry.
So let's analyze that.
Yeah, sure, whatever you want to analyze it. What's that?
No, let's analyze that. Joe Paterno was Sunday punched. He was caught off guard. He didn't know that this cruel thing was going to be done to him.
Exactly. He did not know.
He didn't know that he would have to pay the piper for years and years and years of not dealing with a sexual predator assistant coach who eventually was going to have to be reported to the police if he'd had any kind of brains, let alone morality. And I'm not saying that he didn't have either. I'm saying that Joe Paterno was stupid.
You're calling, oh, bull baby, I just want to be clear. You're calling Joe Paterno stupid.
Yes, I'm saying that he was a stupid man for not dealing with this, because look what happened to him, man.
I don't know what to say to something like that. You have no respect.
I've got plenty of respect. But you know something? Like they said this week, this is, you know, as they were protecting a football program, they were letting children be victimized.
I agree. But why do you got to hang Paterno out to dry? He was a dumb old man. I'll say it, okay? He was a stupid old man.
So now we get it said.
Yes, we get it said. There's no other way for me to say it.
So the dumb cop thing wasn't working. So the dumb cop thing wasn't working.
I'm going to tell you what I believe. He was a stupid old man. Are you going to hang a stupid, dumb, old, senile bastard out to dry? Joe Paterno, Mr. Henry, was a great football coach at one time, and he became a dumb old creep. And why can't we let him have the dignity of having his coaching victories, his coaching career? And when we get together and we talk about Joe Paterno, we can all agree he was a dumb old freak. Some dumb old pervert.
And Joe Paterno?
Yeah.
A pervert?
Well, whatever you want to say. I mean, I agree with you. And I love that man for what he did.
First, you love your old man for being a cop.
I did love my father for being a cop. I did love my father for being a cop.
And you love Joe Paterno, even though he was a dumb old man.
Yes. A dumb, stupid old man. An old man that probably should have been put out of his misery if euthanasia was required. And I'm being honest with you now, all right? If euthanasia was legal, Paterno should have been the first one in line. I'm saying it. It's cruel, but I've got to say it. But it's no reason to drag his name through the mud.
Do you think that Joe Paterno was responsible for his actions?
Yes.
Do you think that Joe Paterno made a conscious decision to sweep this under the rug?
Yes, I do.
So why do you give him the benefit, if you will? Why do you give him the benefit of being a dumb old man?
Because he is. He was. He was a stupid old creep. A dirty, filthy old man. A dirty old man that probably should have been run down by a bus or euthanized or somehow be put out of his misery 10, 15 years before it happened. And I loved him. That's my opinion of him, and I loved him. And,
How do you square with the fact that you love him with that stuff?
What stuff?
The dirty old man.
Of course I loved him. Yeah, I look at the man and I say he's a filthy old bastard, a lying, dirty, scum-sucking dog, and I loved him. That's what love is. You take somebody for what they are, and you love them regardless. And he had good quality. He's a good football coach. But he was a dirty, scum-sucking dog. But I loved him. I don't understand what's hard to believe about that.
It's the most bizarre series of statements I've heard, even more bizarre than your father beating your mother with angel wings on.
Right?
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. I just didn't know what he said. But...
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And Vernon Dozier on the line is going to get some phone calls as well.
What you were just saying there, Mr. Henry.
What's that?
Off the air. You were all getting mad talking about...
That's none of your business or anybody else's.
Well, you were saying it. Yeah, I could hear it.
You could hear it. I'm not going to talk about it. We're on the air with Vernon Dozier as we talk about Joe Paterno. And your opinion of Paterno, which you were reluctant to express, you think the guy was the lowest form of life, but you loved and respected him.
Yes, I did, Phil. And I think what happened to him, and I think what the NC2A did to him, in an effort to make themselves look good, in an effort to polish up and spit shine their own image, was to essentially take Joe Paterno out of his crypt. Out of the mausoleum that his family lovingly stood him up in or laid him. I don't know, Phil. I don't know, where Coach Paterno is. But I can be assured of this, that the family lovingly and respectfully laid him to rest. And the NC2A decided to get into their flashy Cadillacs and their big shiny cars, drive over to the crypt that the Paterno family crypt, which I don't know where it is.
What do you mean the Paterno family? What are you talking about?
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, what do you mean the crypt?
You don't know what a crypt is.
I know what a crypt is. I don't understand why you think Joe Paterno is buried in one.
Mr. Henry, was he an Italian? Yes. Are Italians, are they close-knit? Yes. Do they have big families? Yes. Do they eventually want to be buried together? Yes. How do you do that in a crypt? Yes. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Real easy. Wow.
I just didn't know that. Yeah, it makes me really stupid.
Well, in any event, where was I now?
The NC2A gets in their big cars.
Yeah, the NC2A gets in their big cars.
And he drives over to the crypt.
Is that Dickman?
Yes.
All right, thank you, bud. They drive over to the crypt. They walk into the crypt marked Paterno. They took out a crowbar and whatever those guys, I saw a Wolfman movie once where they levered off the guy's, the hood on this guy's box, and he wound up turning back into a wolf and ripped the face off a guy, but I'm not saying Paterno's going to do that. But they take out a,
you're going through a big, long song and a dance here to say that they have basically disgraced the memory of Joe Paterno.
I don't think it's a song and a dance, Mr. Ed.
Yes, it is a song and a dance. They take out a crowbar and they take it off. Well, I saw a Wolfman movie once where the guy ripped their face off, but that's not important. Why the big, long song and a dance?
Because I'm trying to paint the picture.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow. Wow.
Nobody wants to listen to me. They want to listen to you, Mr. Talk Show Host. They want to listen to me. Joe Paterno had his family crypt robbed. And I'll tell you something else, Mr. Henry, and you can laugh if you want. But I swear I would believe in God again. And I stopped believing in God a long time ago, my man. And I teach it, and I'm a football coach at a Catholic high school, and I stopped believing in God 30 years ago. You know what did it? My mother kissing me on the lips, dropping me off at school. That was the end of God for me. No God. Okay? But I'd start believing in God again if when the NC2A went into, yes, the Paterno family crypt, Joe Paterno, under a full moon, went into a full lycanthropic.
Oh, come on.
A full lycanthropic metamorphosis and tore eyeballs out of heads. Just went that, what was the guy I seen on TV here the other day? What's the guy's name? That Miami Ghoul. Went Miami Zombie on him. Yeah? How do you like that? And when the cops finally do arrive, there's Paterno still gnawing on their faces. That's what I hope would happen. But we don't live in a just world. We live in a world where I get dropped off at school and the last thing I get from my mother is... Mwah!
Look...
No, whoa. I've been listening to you insult me, and I'm going to have my say. When I got dropped off at school, and my mother went, one last thing, honey, a big, wet, with tongue, I stopped believing in God that day. I said, well, there's no God. Can't be a God. There's no way there's a God, and I got to taste that. No way. No way.
Your mother was a sick person.
Really? You think so? Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. Because I still got it. I still got lip locked. And I still got a tonsil inspection every single morning for 14 years. All right? Now, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, because that's how sick I got.
Oh, and Paterno was a sick old man, huh?
I'm telling you, I love Joe Paterno.
All right, I got to take a phone call.
Whoa. One more thing, okay?
I got to take a phone call.
Go ahead, take your phone call. God, you just sounded like...
Well, what is your one more thing?
What is your one more thing?
Can I say it?
Yes, you can say it.
Okay.
You know what? If you don't want to grow up...
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry to have to do this, okay? But my mother kissed me on the lips! I'm simply saying to you, that Paterno would have been within his rights, would have been within his constitutional rights, would have been within his Miranda rights to have leapt from that marble crypt and gone after the entire, every face in the NC2A, whatever the hell it's called. Went ahead and went from one face to the next. Face. And then he's out into the night, hopping on all fours like some Alpo commercial. I don't know what the hell they do, these damn werewolves. He's out there hopping along on all fours like a damn Alpo commercial, going after every dog bowl on Bear Creek. And then he's back in his crypt by sundown, or whatever the hell. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not going to talk about werewolves with you anymore, okay? We're so far off the topic.
Do you know anything about them?
No, I don't know anything about them. They don't exist. I don't need to know anything about them.
What does that mean?
It means I don't know anything about where, and I don't need to, because they don't exist.
You're sure of that?
Yes, I'm sure of that. 877. This is the most asinine conversation I've ever had in my life with anybody. Your desire to rehabilitate the legacy of Joe Paterno has taken a bizarre, dare I say, a delusional twist.
It is not delusional to want to see a great...
No, don't try to talk sense with me. Don't try to talk sense with me after what you just said.
Mr. Henry, it is not delusional to want to try to rehabilitate a great man.
What's to rehabilitate? I thought the guy was fine.
I said I loved him, even though he was a filthy degenerate.
Well, then are you saying, yes, he did let those kids down?
I'm saying the NC2A raped him. Raped, and they're lucky that they did it when there wasn't a full moon. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, so you're saying basically you wish he was a werewolf.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
877-876.
Yeah, see, I got you, and you're all... You know that I...
No. I know that I'm talking to a guy that's crackers. That's what I know.
Yeah, sure. Real easy for you to say.
Yes, you have made it easy. Thank you very much for making it easy.
What's that mean?
It means you talking about crypts and werewolves, and it's a good thing the NC2A raped him when there wasn't a full moon. You're nuts. 877-876-7445. RC at Bradley in Altadena, California. RC Collins, how are you, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm doing really good, and it's very entertaining to hear Coach Dozier try to rewrite history. And
I know who this kid is.
Yeah, yes, sir, you do know who I am, and if I could be allowed to make a couple of statements here before I come in for the coup de grace, you know.
Coup de grace. I'll come in. This kid has been tight.
Excuse me, sir, but I want to be the one that does the mouth movement and
You mean talking?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Talk.
All right. I mean, I'm sorry. I
forgot the word, huh?
Yeah, you don't have to come on like Mr. Coach and everything.
I'm coming on like Mr. Coach because you didn't even remember. This kid couldn't remember the word talk. He's on the mouth movement.
Coach Dozier, I just wanted to tell everybody in Mr. Henry's radio audience tonight that we had a scrimmage. Bradley Military had a scrimmage against Belmar, and we won it by a score of 14-21.
Yeah, that's right. You won it by a score of 14-21. That was a scrimmage, and we were running most of our sophomores. We didn't have any juniors or seniors in there. And,
yeah, well, you can make all the excuses you want, but we did win it by seven.
Yeah, you did. You won it by seven. Can I just make a point here?
Yes, sir.
When you give a football score, you say the winning score first. You'd say we won by a score of 21-14. See?
Well, you know, sir, you've been giving people orders a long time. We won it.
All right. And now I'm going to tell the rest of the story here.
No, but but we did. And
okay, you won it. Was a scrimmage?
What?
What was this?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it was a scrimmage that we had over at Field 3 against Belmar, and we beat them and everything.
Yeah, they beat us, Mr. Henry, in a scrimmage, okay? Regular season game, what was the score of that game?
Who cares? We beat you the first time. It doesn't matter.
What was the score of the regular season game?
It doesn't matter.
42-0 Belmar Academy.
So? No one cares.
I think the Belmar fans cared. And by the way, we won our league last year.
Yeah, nobody cares. All they care about...
Everyone cares, okay?
No, they don't. They don't care. They don't care.
You got a guy here that needs a doctor, okay?
Did you touch me between the legs?
Did I do what?
What?
Nothing.
What did you just say?
I was trying to make it sound like you did something bad. I just hate the way you talk about...
I don't like the way you talk.
You know something? If you are... You guys are a military academy? I can't believe it. There are more... How many girls do you have at your school?
Sir, we don't have any. It's a boys' military academy.
That's not what I am.
That's not how you understand it. See, you had a perfect chance to make us look bad, and you're all...
No, I didn't go... Bleh. I said that's not how it seems to me.
Yeah, you blew it. You blew it.
Okay, so you beat them during a preseason scrimmage. Belmar came back and beat you in the regular season, 42-0. That's the end of that. Let's take a break. Wow. That's an amazing, amazing exchange there. 877-876-PHIL. And we have with us Vernon Dozier, head football coach at Belmar Academy. As he talks to us about Joe Paterno and what this means, the NC2A, you know, sanctions, what it means to the Paterno legacy. Vernon thinks that Joe Paterno got a bad deal. 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up next hour. We'll be going through with a fine-tooth comb, excuse me, a lot of what you hear us talking about right now on this here show. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Alf on the Phil Henry Show. Alf, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Listen, I wanted to talk to this guy and tell him that he must be out of his mind if he thinks that Joe Paterno is some kind of a football god. I am originally from New York City. Now, I live in Florida now, but even before this happened with Paterno and before all of this went down with the Penn State football team, I can tell you right now that this is a football team that had no chance at all rehabilitating itself in the eyes of the people because there were things that the Penn State football team wasn't doing very well. One of the things was that they kept Joe Paterno on there. It was...
Okay. What is your problem?
I don't have a problem. I don't have... You're the one with a problem. I'm listening to you talk.
Hold on. You're talking until you run out of air?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's my doctor told me to do. Mr. Henry would divide by that and would allow me to keep talking until I run out of air because it's something my diaphragm needs to be reflexive. It needs to be worked on that way, and that's what the doctor said. So I try to get rid of the air as fast as I can and say everything I need to say, but that's going to give you a chance to talk just as soon as I get rid of all the oxygen. I'm talking about Joe Paterno, and I'm going to... Oh, God,
What is
Walter. Hey, Alf?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
What is the problem?
I have a diaphragm problem, and in other words, what I'm supposed to do is talk until I run out of oxygen, and then we're only then are other people allowed to talk, and I'm trying to talk really fast so I don't take up too much time. And what I'm trying to say here is about Joe Paterno, but you're asking about the ailment that I've got. It's a diaphragm problem. It's not a perforated diaphragm. That's a different kind of problem, but it's a diaphragm problem. I'm supposed to talk until I run out of all the air, but I'm not running out of air fast enough, but I also can't breathe. It really is torture. I got to... Oh!
I got to tell you something, Mr. I'm going to hang the phone up.
Probably the best thing you could ever possibly say is that you're going to hang the phone up. The things that you've been saying in this program tonight have been absolutely unspeakable, and they've been something that I would never even allow anybody to say. I wouldn't allow my own son to say it. I wouldn't allow the most filthy-minded bastard in the world to say it. I wouldn't allow anybody to say the things I've heard you say, and you've been saying them over and over and over again. I'm tired of writing this torture because I don't want to talk. I can't stop that.
What kind of a problem is this?
Hey, Mr. Henry, I think I know what this is. And
hold on. Don't start talking, because when you talk, you don't shut up.
I think this is a diaphragm problem. What happens is if you take a breath any time before you've run out of air, what you're doing is there's a clash of carbon dioxide and oxygen in the lungs, and it causes a very painful reaction. So when you start talking, you've got to talk until all the oxygen is out of your lungs. You can't talk before that.
What kind of a problem is that?
It's a diaphragm problem. It's a spastic diaphragm. Means the diaphragm can only work in one complete movement.
Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm right here, but now, so you made me start talking, and so I got to start talking, and they're not going to be able to go.
Yeah, you did it now.
Yeah, the thing that I did, and I told that my wife, and I said, I'm listening to this crazy program, I'm listening to this guy, and I'm hearing this guy won't shut up, he's talking about all this stuff, and I can't believe it anymore. Joe Paterno is one of the greatest guys. He's talking about werewolves, talking about all kinds of stupid stuff. Ah!
Why'd he scream?
Because it's very, very painful.
Get rid of this guy. Well, I mean the guy. Get rid of the guy. Okay. I can't listen to that. That's about the strangest guy. That's the strangest phone call I've ever heard in my life.
I'm familiar with it, Mr. Ender, only because I was married to... My first wife had that problem. And it is a hellish thing to be married to somebody with that problem. I can tell you that. And
your first wife?
Yes. Sally, the one that died.
Yeah. Did she die from that?
No, she had, poor girl had cancer, but no, she had this spastic diaphragm, so when she started talking, it'd just be ba 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 ba. And I think she's the only woman on record, and I even checked with the doctor that treated her, and I said, could you check and find out if there's ever been a report of a woman who wants to be belted by her husband, who wanted it, who asked for it? And this doctor, who I fired because I didn't think it was very funny, he said, don't all of them? And he's like, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you know, you are some kind of piece of garbage. And I fired him. And
are you telling me the truth?
Yes, I'm telling you the truth.
I'd fire him, too.
I did. I fired the smart-ass son of a bitch. I said, let me tell you something. I got a wife laying in here who's about to die. Okay, you're doing a comedy sketch, what do you call it? Standing up sketch, or how to do that? And he said, I didn't mean any offense. I said, well, guess what? You're fired. Now get out of here before I throw you through a window. And he's all, well, you can't talk to me like that. Well, guess what happened?
You threw him through the window. Why do I think you threw him through a window?
You're right. I threw him head first right through a brand new plate glass window. And you know what? I felt real good. I felt good as I called up that window company and said, I need a new window. No, but Sally had that, and it's painful because they got to keep talking. And she said to me, hit me, belt me, do something, shut me up, please. And I said, honey, she said, I'm telling you right now, Vernon, hit me, sock me, belt me so I'm knocked out cold. Otherwise, I'm never going to shut up. I'm just da 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 da. Because her family, they're all swimmers, and she was a swimmer. She was a collegiate swimmer.
Yeah. Well, what has that got to do with anything?
She had great lungs. So she's like, bah, 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 bah. She could talk about 3-4 minutes straight without taking a breath. And she'd say all through it, would you please hit me? Please hit me? So finally I hauled off one day, and I just it was a straight shot to the nose, okay? I didn't do it, just a straight bang, jab. Just a straight hand, straight right hand. And it didn't do nothing. She just kept...
I, Vernon, I've had a lot of people on this show, and I've listened to a lot of stories.
What, you think I'm telling a fairy tale here?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You have had one of the weirdest lives that I've ever heard of in my life. Your wife now is a girl that you married within 30 minutes of her graduation from high school. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And she'd been a student of yours.
That's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany was one of my students. And as she walked off the stage with her high school diploma, I took her by the arm. We got into my car. Within 20 minutes, her father and brother rolled by the Blue Moon Motel. They saw my car parked, and they knew they were too late.
At the Blue Moon Motel.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Because that's the stupidest sound in the... I got to go, man.
Thank you. Yeah, you got to go. You just insulted my honeymoon, but you got to go.
Oh, shut up. We'll be right back with our news and information hour. Her brother and her father rolled by the Blue Moon Hotel, or motel.
Motel.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Can I say one more thing? Because I just found out that I've got a document, Bob, and I really need to say something right now. The thing that I want to say more than anything else is the fact that this guy that's talking to you there about Joe Paterno, I haven't loved Joe Paterno. It's the guy that I've always loved. I've always loved Joe Paterno. It's not that he's the kind of guy that I really wanted to know and really wanted to be a football coach. I wanted to play football too, but I never got to play football. I'm going to be honest with Joe Paterno.
Phil Henry.